Welcome to the Geekcentric Podcast, and welcome to our annual Oscar review show. Movies are just over 100 years old. Imagine being there for the first 100 years of painting or theater. We don't know where this incredible journey is going from here. Love ya. Get home safe, guys. Well, the envelopes have been opened, the statues have been claimed, and tonight we are going to be talking about the highlights and biggest surprises from the 96th Annual Academy Awards Show. My name is Kev, and I want to thank you for joining us here on the Geekcentric Podcast. If you're joining us for the first time, well, we are Geekcentric, a podcast celebrating the world of movies, television, gaming, toys and collectibles, and all things geek-centric. I clearly cannot do this on my own, however. As Jimmy talked about, it takes a whole team to bring the movies and television shows that we love together, and that is very similar here on the Geekcentric Podcast. Joining me today are a couple of award-worthy podcasters that don't need tuxedos to look good, donning their black cowboy hats and flashy pink gloves. They're here to talk movies and show their love. Justin, Nate, how are we this evening?
Yeehaw.
Here we go. Feeling, let's go.
Feeling good, feeling a little defeated, but feeling good.
I am not feeling defeated.
Oh, no. Well, we will eventually get to talking about the prediction contest that we have here on the Geekcentric Podcast every year. We also hold a little competition amongst family and friends, and Mr. J-Law himself took home those honors this year. I won't say it's because of picking, you know, a surprise winner in one of the categories, but it was certainly not the favorite going in. I think the same can be said for a couple of the awards won, which we will get to very, very soon. But, you know, just from an overall standpoint, I don't know about you guys, but I thought that that was a tremendous show. From Jimmy Kimmel's opening monologue to some incredible musical performances, a naked wrestler presenting best costume, endless Madame Web jokes, a twins reunion, and John Mulaney breaking down the magic of Field of Dreams, there was lots to enjoy from the broadcast. So why don't we start with some highlights from the show? Nate?
Yeah, I think, you know, say what you will about Jimmy Kimmel. I know that he's been up and down in a lot of people's minds, but I think he was he did a really good job with this year's Oscars. I think very classy for the Academy to kick things off with a classic movie montage. Like, please, just that every year, so good. And then to kind of end with him sitting next to Barbie and him, cutting him into that part of the movie of "You're So Beautiful," I thought it was just really, really well done. And just like it was easy, it was simple, but it was effective. And you know, I think Kevin, like you said during our prediction segment, like you weren't sure if Kimmel was gonna list off a bunch of stats, and he actually did have a few stats kind of throughout his monologue. So I was like, you know what? I don't think you're as far away from that job as you might think you are, Kevin.
No, if the Academy calls, I won't be able to host this show for us, guys. I'll be a little busy. So just keep that in
mind. Okay. Deal.
Yeah, I think top to bottom the show was great. I think this is probably one of the best Oscars in the last least 5 years, right? And I honestly think it has a lot to do with just the fluidity and the way everything went. Maybe it was because it started an hour earlier as well. It didn't feel as late. But yeah, Kimmel was great. I think he, like you said, Nate, he's not perfect. He goes up and down. I don't think all of his jokes landed, but the ones that did land, those were the good ones. But that said, yeah, like I think the show was very tight. And everything that happened on stage and the way they were able to get the audience involved in these jokes and gags, like Spielberg
killed it.
I think that's really great. Yeah. Yeah. And it was just, and I think that's a lot of fun. And it helped move things along. It helped to show this sort of community. You know, it was really nice to have five different actresses or best supporting actresses and actors and supporting actors introduce the nominees. It's this celebratory thing, especially given the fact of everything that's happened with SAG and them coming together. It's a great way for everyone to kind of recognize each other's craft, and I really do appreciate that. But that felt like it ate up a lot of time. Am I not?
It was definitely a choice. Yeah. From a production standpoint.
I'm happy, though, that that was the choice, though, if that makes any sense. Like, if we're going to add more time, it was really nice to do it there rather than some bits and gags that probably wouldn't have panned out as well as those did.
Yeah, I think they were very, like, they chose where to sort of draw things out a little longer versus doing, like you said, a whole bunch of unnecessary skits or jokes throughout the show. I think giving the time for colleagues to come out and show just a bit of appreciation for the work that the nominees did, I think. And you said it really nicely last night when we were watching the show, that it's a great way to celebrate all five of the nominees and not just the winner. And I think that it was a really, really wise choice to do that. So I actually appreciated the way they presented the four acting awards in that regard, and would like to see them do it again going forward. Because it is kind of like a, ooh, who's going to come out this year? You know, you could always sort of change up your lineup and have different people every time, and try and find people who have some sort of relationship to each of the nominees. It was very cool in that regard.
I will add, though, I just don't think it made sense for Best Picture to have Al Pacino come out. I'll just say that.
Yikes.
I'm sure
totally.
A lot of people
I was
feeling
saving
that
for what didn't work on the broadcast, and that would have been maybe the one thing I had on my list to highlight, because I don't know what he's getting old, and he seemed a little out of it, to say the least. That was a very odd.
Why are we always picking the oldest, most confused people to give these awards? Like, respect to the guy, obviously, he's incredible, and obviously the Academy is showing him that respect. But he literally says, "What happened?" when the music starts playing for Oppenheimer, he literally goes, "What happened?" And I'm just, I don't know, man. It was a little, yeah, that was rough.
I think there's a new trend in the Oscars. If Emma Stone wins Best Actress, somebody is going to screw up it. The Best Picture presentation. We should have seen it coming from a mile away.
He's issued the, I guess his people and him have issued a statement and said that he was advised not to go through the nominees, as I had predicted. He was
because
advised,
they showed them
exactly
throughout.
Because they ran them throughout the evening, which makes sense. Even at the point, though, like, there are people that have gone up there, and just as a reminder, here are your nominees. Boom, 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 boom. There's no sitting on it. It's just, here's the names, right? I don't even think that would have made sense for him to do, given his sort of, as you said, his confusion at the moment. I think he was a little immersed with what was going on. So that just felt like a really awkward way to end the show.
Yeah, they were so close. They were so close to a perfect broadcast, and then Pacino came out, and hoo-ah, did he ever blow it.
Honestly, give it to Kimmel. And I'm not saying it's just like Kimmel should do the last one, right? Like, just let him be the one who delivers it and gets them the speech and wraps it up and gets them out. Like, that just makes more sense than having someone else come up for any sort of prestigious reason, so...
I just going back to some of the humor and highlights. I think, you know, Kimmel's jokes, as we said, not all of them worked. Some of them did, but I thought, you know, you have everything from like dad jokes where he was talking about Yorgos, and his joke was who will win? Yorgos is as good as mine.
That was good. Oh, yeah,
and that was a nice
great
little knee slapper. But then, like, even just him working with Guillermo. And Guillermo calling him Coleman Flamingo at one point instead of Coleman Domingo, I thought was fantastic. And even just some of the additional, like, I think, who was it? Why am I blanking from SNL with the bit with Kate McKinnon and America Ferrera, and her going through the Jurassic Park movies as if they were documentaries, and then calling Steven Spielberg Dr. Spielberg, I thought was fantastic. I do want to shout out, though, I think the two biggest highlights of the night for myself, if we're talking about some of the humor and some of the additional stuff, has to be the VIP, very important pup, Messi, there representing at the Oscars. The clap is a gift that I immediately saved and will forever use going into the future.
Messi is apparently a big fan of Oppenheimer.
Yes. Huge fan of Oppenheimer.
Fan of Robert Downey, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. I think it was Robert Downey specifically. Got him clapping, yeah.
And then, of course, it's got to be I'm Just Ken, I think, was such a standout performance. I think amongst all the standout, you know, performances in the Oscars, I think having it almost as a – it was for Barbie, but it was also – was it a Marilyn Monroe sort of callback as well at the same time?
Well, certainly to like the big, you know, musical productions of 1930s musicals and everything. It was a very classic style performance with a very modern new age, style of song with the humor and everything. And yeah, I think that's a top five all time Oscars performances, if you ask me.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the dancers in the background, they have literally the same stripes as when she performed Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend I don't know if that was at the Academy Awards or what have you, but I'm seeing the pictures come up of the two of them sort of side by side, surrounded by all these Kens, I guess.
Yeah, there's probably a sense of paying homage to that. Yet this is Ken, obviously surrounded by his other Kens. I think they're very playful with that. They gave the Hollywood glamour. They had this lovely, again, audience involvement where he starts in the audience and he moves onto the stage and it grows bigger and bigger. It definitely exemplified adding Kenergy to an award show, and it really did help. And I think anyone who saw that presentation probably would have been like, damn, maybe I should have voted for Ken. I'm just Ken. You know what I mean?
I mean, to be fair, Billie Eilish also did an unbelievable
That performance
job.
Was...
Yeah, I said it last
it
night.
It felt like...
I said it last night. Yeah. When we saw her host or perform on SNL, I instantly just went, well, that's going to win the Oscar. Like, if I didn't know it already, I certainly know it now, because that is just an unbelievable performance.
And just the way it builds, the sort of, it's just Phineas and her, the pianos, her soft voice. And then it opens up and then you see the entire orchestra there. And it was just so heartfelt and epic.
So
and it just added to this moment. It elevated it into like this sort of cinematic movie moment. It was really well done. It's definitely, those are the songs that were going at it. But hey, we also had enough time to hear the song from Flamin' Hot, which is, you know, come on, that's pretty good too.
That was short, yeah. Short and sweet. Short but sweet, you know, mercifully. I think.
Spicy. Short and spicy.
Yeah,
right?
Short and spicy.
I know we've sort of shifted, but just on Kimmel again, I think he did a very good job of balancing between sort of, you know, roasting his colleagues and friends, but also paying homage to what the night represents. And he snuck in a few pretty good little zingers without getting too political. He had the great bit about reading that was actually a tweet from Donald Trump that he sent out. That's unbelievable. Like, that's a joke that you like, you know, you're like, I'm just going to wait till he says something. And the next time I'm on stage, once he's made his obligatory tweet, I'm just going to be able to read that on stage and get a good laugh out of it. He also roasted Katie Britt. With the line like Bella Baxter, she's an adult woman with the brain of a child. I thought that was very well done. But the whole night in general, you know, there's so many terrible things going on in the world, and without spending too much time on them, I think there was a perfect balance between a few speeches bringing reference to the conflict in Gaza and you know, what's going on in with that. And then obviously with Ukraine and Russia, but not getting too much. Nobody took the time from their acceptance speech to on a political tirade for the most part, you know, especially the actors. And, you know, Joaquin Phoenix a few years ago really used that as a platform instead of just saying, hey, thanks for this honor. Congrats to my nominees. Let's move on with the show. So I thought they all did a good job this year with that.
Yeah, I think a lot of them chose the idea of being represented in unity by wearing their pins.
Yes. Yeah. You had Mark Ruffalo and Rami Youssef and Billie Eilish and Ava DuVernay, to name a few. Yeah.
That shows a sense of strength and a community that exists behind there. And I don't think it needs to get overly political. Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. There was a good balance of that representation and capturing those moments.
But then also, yeah, keeping the show light and fun and moving along. You know, we've had some really long 4+ hour broadcasts in the past. So the fact that they kept this to the 3.5 hours roughly that they promised at the beginning, starting an hour early, I think, is a great idea because everyone, you know, nobody has to be up too late before going to work on a Monday morning. So I bet you we see that going forward. Yeah, I thought there were a lot of really great strategies in that regard.
And I also want to just shout out, I mean, whoever's idea it was to bring out the crew, the grips, the gaffers, the people behind the scenes for that moment of recognition. I think that was awesome because, again, like there were a couple of sort of back and forths. And I know Twitter was going off when they brought up and honored. They did that video about folks in the stunt person community and how, you know, and so many people were like, well, why not just make a category for them? And I believe that they are going to do that. But I thought, you know, in some ways, I think they did a really good job of honoring. And I think in others, like, you know, again, we're getting there. We're getting there next year. I'm really looking forward to those new categories. But yeah, the bringing out the crew and the grips and the gaffers and the people behind the scenes, I think was a really classy move. So kudos to them.
Yeah, and a very cool line from Jimmy saying how, you know, you guys stood by us and didn't cross the line. And so when it's your turn to negotiate, we will stand with you. I thought, yeah, it was just a lot of camaraderie in the whole entertainment community was shown through that presentation, which was really nicely done.
Yeah, it was a bit strange, though, that they decided to go up and recognize stunts but not do anything about it. Not even say that, like, you know, we're going to be the Academy will be adding an award. Like, that in itself would have been a great positive way to kind of introduce it. It's like a trailer to,
like a teaser trailer for next year's
award.
Yeah,
for upcoming awards, right? Yeah. Like, because I know we're getting casting as well. And I don't know. I just thought that it was a bit strange, but I get it. It was a moment of being able to say, like, we would like to take a moment to recognize the stunt actors. And I think a lot of that comes from sort of the fallout of what happened over SAG, right? Like, just really understanding how massively impacting that was on everyone.
Well, yeah, and you know, to think that they were on strike for as long as they were last year, and we still got the incredible slate of movies that were honored last night is really a remarkable thing. It's pretty amazing that they were able to still, you know, still put that together. And from everything I've been reading, last year was a tremendous year, the first in many years. It was a good haul at the box office, not just from, you know, Barbenheimer, but a lot of smaller films did really, really well in limited theatrical runs. And that's great to see. That means, you know, more movies for us in the future. You got to go out and support the craft that we love if we want to see more of it. And I think people did that. And they were given good reason to with a lot of the movies that were nominated and then some. Did you have any favorite winners from the evening? I know myself, seeing American Fiction take home the screenplay award was fantastic. I didn't guess that in our little prediction contest with each other, but I was happy to be wrong there. I think we said it that night that I would have been happy to be wrong, and I certainly was.
And Cord Jefferson's speech, I think, was absolutely excellent. And again, you know, we talk about taking that time to use your platform, and with someone like him, I mean, this was kind of, I guess this is his first big win in this way, at least, you know, in terms of the Oscars. And so for him to kind of come out and just talk about the idea of, like, hey, we don't need every movie to be this massive, you know, ginormous budget. Let's get some, you know, smaller budget films out there and give so many more people the chance that they deserve, because they can make art like American Fiction. They can make you know, movies that don't need that biggest budget and can still reach people and connect with people and tell stories from perspectives that maybe aren't being told. And I think that was really, really excellent. And I think it was just a really good use of time. It was even him calling out, like, people started cheering for him. He's like, well, just shut up. They only give me 7 more seconds or something like that. I was like, yeah, say what you need to say. Say your piece and screw them if they start playing that music, because that was such a good speech.
And I do think that for the most part, other than for the special effects team behind Godzilla, they gave everybody more than enough time to sort of say what they wanted to and needed to say without rushing them off the stage. Like, if you're going to give time to any aspect of the show, it's like, let the winners talk a little bit up there. And I thought they did a good job, again, for sure, of that this year. And Oppenheimer was the big winner, as most people would have guessed, taking home 7 of the 13 awards that it was nominated for. Killers of the Flower Moon, on the other hand, took home none, which was a bit of a surprise to some people. I think I think if we're going to talk about surprises, we'd all be in agreement that while she wasn't an underdog, it was still surprising to see Emma Stone get the Best Actress over Lily Gladstone. What did we think about that?
Both were fantastic performances. I guess maybe we teed up Lily Gladstone just based on how much hype there was, because a lot of people were surprised. It seemed like it was pretty much locked in for Lily, given the consistency. But, you know, when you break down the awards and you see that they were both pretty much neck and neck, they were tied. So I think everyone knew that Emma was great in this movie. She really does deliver based on the material that she's given. She basically becomes a whole new character as Bella Baxter. You know, when we were talking on the podcast last week, like, you know, I thought about it, and it's a good point. It's a very good point. And when I looked at the split tie on them, I was like, it could go anyway. And I was saying it all night. I'm like, it's really up to Best Actress how our, you know, friends and family pool was going to go. And sure enough, it swung. But I don't think anyone, and even on our family pool, picked Emma Stone. Maybe one person.
One person. But it wasn't enough to catch up to you after you kind of ran away with it once you took Best Animated and you picked Boy in the Heron, and everybody and their uncles had Spider-Man. So you knew something the rest of us didn't, that's for sure.
You know, again, here on our geek-centric pick, I chose Across the Spider-Verse because technically that is massive achievement in animation. But the Oscars likes their Japanese Studio Ghibli style stuff, right? They like, I think in a lot of ways it's the marriage between story and the medium of animation that Miyazaki has always really kind of been able to execute. And yeah, I took a gamble. I honestly thought I knew everyone was going to pick Across the Spider-Verse on our friends and family pool. So I went with The Boy and the Heron, and I hoped that I would take the advantage, and I did.
Yeah, I think, you know, both of those categories that we just talked about, there was a lot of heart overhead, I think, in for a lot of folks kind of going into that. And I think, you know what, I would hope that both are, you know, that would make sense. But I think, you know, I didn't even see Lily Gladstone's performance, and I still really wanted her to take home the gold that night. I will say I'm she's had an incredible run with awards in for the other awards during the season. I'm really excited to just see, you know, what this does for her going forward and what she gets next. And you know, an Oscar is not too far away for her, I'm imagining. But yeah, with Spider-Man, dude, having had seen both of those movies, Spider-Man.
That's the other thing. I haven't seen Boy in the Heron.
No,
so,
I'm telling you that Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, but you're not the Academy, bro.
Taken it.
So
I know,
and
but
the
I
Academy.
Be.
What do I keep saying? The Academy doesn't do sequels. You know, they don't sequels.
They hate sequels as much as you hate prequels, Kevin.
Exactly. One last quick note on Emma Stone winning. She becomes the 15th actress to have won two or more Best Actress awards, which is kind of insane to think about, because it means that 33% of the Best Actress awards have been won by just 15 women. But so she joined some really, really elite company there with Meryl Streep and Frances McDormand, just to name a few. So it was a big moment for her, and certainly cements her legacy already. And she's still so young. She's younger than me. So just crazy to think that the girl from Superbad is, you know, one of the best in the world at what she does. Good for her.
She's a two-time Academy Award winning actress that dominated. So, you know, I think it's funny when the awards happen, right? And you're like, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. That why they would choose Emma Stone. I felt the exact same way about sound. The pick for sound. We all picked Oppenheimer.
Right.
And sure enough, it went to Zone Interest. And it's just like, you know what? That seems so dumb that we didn't think of it, like, go that route, because that movie is so reliant on sound for its experience and the story that it's telling. And it's like, it's just so funny how it always happens that way when you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That does make sense.
That's such a good shout, because I almost forgot about that when I was going over and looking at last night. I completely forgot about that, because that was definitely I think a top two or three surprise of the night. But again, none of the surprises were like, why would that have won? It was like, well, of course that deserves it as well.
No, of course, so but there's still surprises. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I totally agree. It wasn't like any of them were like, oh, no, like huge upsets, like negative, like, oh, why? Like, I think if Martin Scorsese or Killer of the Flower Moon won anything outside of Best Actress, I would have been like, what? Why? but no, I think it was all in the fun of competition and just being able to, you know, say, I really do think that this person's going to take it, or I think this movie's going to take it. And I think we were all very happy with Oppenheimer sort of walking in and taking an abundant amount of those awards that we predicted outside of sound. 'Cause yeah, it was just so great. And like to see Christopher Nolan getting his Academy Award from Steven Spielberg, sort of the godfather of the Hollywood, you know, resurgence, if you will. And, you know, passing that as almost like a torch to Nolan and what he's been striving to do, to tell stories and do the big things. It was a great moment to see him finally get that Best Director's Oscar.
100%. But you did mention the word competition. And in the yeah. most important news of the evening, our annual Oscar competition, where we made our guesses for who would win 13 of our favorite categories, this year was won with an incredible 12 of 13 correct guesses, as John Cena, Mr. Buffman himself would say, the champ is here, boys. I eked you out once again. I take it for the second year in a row. Nate, you had a very respectable 11, and Justin, you came in with 10, as I mentioned earlier.
Oh, okay, I'll take second place.
Yeah, you did very well. We all did fairly well this year, and I think that goes to show that we had a pretty good grasp on what was going to get rewarded this year, and for the most part called that pretty correctly. So hats off to all of us for doing a good job there.
I'm gonna put it out there. I think next year, we have to, whatever we put on the podcast is the what we have to put into our personal paid pool. I think that's the challenge. That's the challenge that I'm gonna give you. So you can't just mess around, Justin, and oh yeah, Spider-Verse. And I'm like, oh, Spider-Verse is a lot for sure. Hey, I'm gonna bet money on that. And then all of a sudden, oh, I picked Boy in the Head. Yeah, shut up, dude. Like, no way. That's not going on. We've got, I think, some major rules changing for next year, and I'm really excited. Especially with the new categories as well.
We'll see.
Well, we will have to see, but I think that does it for our awards season coverage of the year. We can't wait to see what movies released over the next 10 months will earn nominations for the 2024 Academy Awards. Based on the Dune 2 review that Justin and Nate did, I think we already have an early favorite to do well at the show next year. And you know that we will be here with our annual predictions and review shows to give you our thoughts on all the biggest Oscar news. Thank you so much for joining us today. We'd love to know what winners or losers shocked or delighted you the most. You can do that at wearegeekcentric@gmail.com. Or if that feels a bit too much like Killers of the Flower Moon being entirely shut out on the evening, hit us up on our socials instead. Justin, where can they do that?
Well, they can reach us on Twitter, for the app formerly known as Twitter, @GeekCentricYT, or on Instagram @WeAreGeekCentric.
You know, I don't think you need to say the app formerly known as Twitter every time. It's like people in Toronto, they still call it the Sky Dome. You know, nobody goes Rogers Centre,
I guess.
Formerly known as the Sky Dome. You know,
if you mention but Twitter, if you look at it, it actually
X.
But it actually says formerly as Twitter. It's pretty crazy. It's built.
Well, and if there's somebody listening to this that's never gone to the website, how are they going to be able to type it in? They'll end up at a website maybe they shouldn't be at. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Or something about birds.
If you type in x.com, let's see what comes up. Disastrous.
I think we're all a little Oppenheimered at this point. Go ahead, Kevin. Sorry.
No worries. While we are done with the Oscars for this year, we have a ton of other great episodes covering the latest in movies, TV shows, and games that you can check out wherever you listen to podcasts. That includes our ongoing watch club for the third and final season of The Bad Batch, as well as reviews for Extraordinary Season 2, Invincible Season 2, and Kung Fu Panda. Not Kung Poo, although I don't think you guys loved it, so maybe Kung Fu Panda 4. We also keep the amazing interviews coming for shows like Bad Batch, Avatar The Last Airbender, and so much more. Be sure to check those out wherever you listen to podcasts or watch them on YouTube so you can see our award-worthy smiles. 2024 is rolling along, and it's only getting busier as we march forward. So stay tuned and keep joining us. We have so many exciting reviews and interviews coming your way over the next few weeks and months, so stay tuned for those. But until then, Justin, Nate, the award for Best Podcast Co-Hosts goes to you. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. And as we say...
I just want to take the moment to just thank my mom, my dad, Kevin, Justin, Kevin's mom, Justin's mom. And I also just want to just say really quickly, because I think it is really important. Love ya.
Get home safe, guys.
Peace.